You can't demand, well, I've got to build a church in 1 year or I'm giving up. We're just sowing seed. And we don't know what God's going to do with it. The harvest is the Lord's, and He will bring in the harvest in His time. We also need to remember that God's ways are higher than our ways. And what we think, plan and scheme and hope will turn out may be the very opposite. God works in strange ways with His servants. He opens doors, He closes doors. But if you're faithful, God will continue to use you. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're continuing our theme of the birth of our Lord Jesus. We take delight at this time of year to preach the news that God has sent us a Savior. We have today Mr. Spurgeon, and he is giving us another excerpt on the name of Jesus, the name that was given by God, given by angels. It meant His glory, it meant His work, and it means our salvation. We have a hymn also, Once in Royals David's City, and I trust that this will be a joyful note of praise in the midst of our program today, after our message, which is on the hero of the Incarnation. We're looking for the person who stands out as the one who is loyal, faithful to the end. And I trust that you will have your conviction on that as well. And it will mark our lives that we are faithful unto the Lord. Stay tuned now as we let the Bible speak today from our pulpit in the Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. And you know, it was not the first time that Mary heard this. That was the first time that she knew she was the appointed vessel to bear the Lord. But all her life, she heard of the Messiah. She heard of the kingdom. She heard of the might that He would deliver His people and so on. She grew up in a home where this knowledge was so vital. Teaches us that it's important that young people are grounded in the gospel. They need to know the great things concerning Christ. So on that day when the Lord speaks, it's not a strange voice. These were familiar things to Mary. She knew they were right. She knew enough of her Bible that she could say, this angel is speaking the truth. And then verse 28, she had faith that she herself personally was the chosen vessel. If you look at verse 28, an angel came in unto her and said, Hail. I paused a moment to look up this word heal and say, well, what does this mean? Well, we are familiar with Heil Hitler, but Heil Mary. We don't use those terms, do we? We don't elevate Mary as Roman Catholics do. But the angel said to Mary, Heil. And it really was a term, Mary, be cheerful. Receive the message gladly. Take it on board. Listen up. It was a word to get Mary's attention. Heil, I've got something really wonderful to tell you. And Mary listened with tremendous eagerness. And the angel went on to say, Blessed art thou, rejoice, be glad, highly favored. Now, so many women in Israel dreamed of this happening to them. Generations of young women lived and died with the potential, maybe the Redeemer of His people will be born from me. And now here was Mary hearing these words. And by faith, she said, Let it be unto me according to thy word. There and then, without hesitation, she laid hold upon God's plan. God's plan for Israel, but God's plan for her. This would now be her life's work. This would be all that she would live for and die for, that she would have this role of bearing the Savior into the world. There is her submission. And here she becomes a hero, heroine, model for us. We need that submission. It's the proof of faith in action, faith at work. You know, people tell us, God has given me strong faith. But we expect to see that faith in action. Faith without works is dead. And if your faith does not lead you to submission to the revealed will of God, to all the light and knowledge that God gives you through His Word, if you say, well, I'm too busy for that, I have other things to do, then your life, you cannot serve God. That sounds like Joshua when he told the people, ye cannot serve God. You're too in love with other things. You're too in love with the other things of the other nations. You cannot serve God. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you and I need submission in our lives if our lives are going to be real servants for the Lord Jesus. God will not use a liar, and God will not use a stubborn person. Because really, that's what happens. People get stubborn. Say, I'm too busy with my own things. But Mary, well, she was submitted. This is really important, you know. I'm not just coming up here with a nice little sermon for Christmas season. I believe God has given us a word that we all need. I need, and you need. The Lord Jesus taught His disciples how to pray. He said, pray in this manner, Our Father which art in heaven, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you pray that way? What hypocrites we would be if we prayed in that manner and then refused to do the will of God in our lives. This requires submission. Worship, service, requires submission to the living God. Personal faith will pray this way, let Thy will be done in me. And surrender begins on your knees before God. There's no other way. It's required. Like Samuel, who said, here I am, Lord. And that is the precise moment and the precise answer that God must have with every one of His servants. The definite call to serve Him. And it is that call and that like surrender by which God has thrust thousands into the white harvest fields of the world. Why do men go? Why do men and women go? Why do families go to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? There was a moment of God's speaking voice, and it corresponded with a moment of surrender. Be it unto me according to Thy word. Has that happened in your life? Now, I know I'm talking about missionaries, and I'm talking about service, and I'm talking about various activities. But it ought to be the surrender of every Christian, because we need sanctified, godly saints in the church. Someone said that godly worship in the church is the fuel for missions. If there are not Christians who are zealous for Christ in the church, how will that church become a sending church of missionaries? If we do not glorify our Lord here, how will we send men there? We must each be totally surrendered to the Lord. And in this way, Mary is our heroine. She is our model. Be it unto me according to Thy word. Have you made that surrender in your life? If not, it's time. Or if you have gone back on it, it's time to get back and live a surrendered life to the Lord Jesus. The next thing I see in Mary is her long-term commitment. Now, long-term commitment is a very necessary part of serving the Lord and of really being a faithful servant. We don't want people who are just a flash in the sky. We don't want people who are just like fizzy pop, take the cap off and leave it for a minute and then they go dead. We want Christians who are on fire for God today, tomorrow, through the week, all of their days earnest in serving God. When we look at Mary, we see this long-term commitment. She married Joseph. They went through with the marriage.
She called the babe
Jesus, as they were commanded.
When that babe was born in the manger in that stable outside the inn,
she welcomed the shepherds who came to find the newborn child of whom the angels had spoke to them. She entertained those shepherds.
There's a little note. I'm not sure how to handle to preach this, but I'd like you to tuck this away in your mind.
In Luke 2:19, it says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
That visit of the shepherds caused her a lot of wonder and puzzlement. How's all this going to play out? What's the end of this going to be? And then she later welcomed the wise men to her home, probably a couple of years later. And then when Herod was mad, they obeyed that they should flee into Egypt and take the child there for safety until Herod be dead. And then they returned and lived in Nazareth. And for all of those years of our Savior's growing up years, Mary was a faithful mother to the Lord Jesus. She believed the message right to the end. When the Lord was 12 years old, he made a visit to the temple. And you remember how Jesus got lost and he was debating with the learned. And whenever the Lord rebuked Mary and said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Again, we read Luke 2:51, his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Mary never lost faith in that first announcement of Gabriel. She never lost faith that this child, which was born in her, number one, was virgin born. She continued with that testimony. She demanded that people accept that testimony. And all these events that happened through the life of our Lord in his growing up years, Mary was hiding these bits of information in her heart, storing them up until, of course, at 30 years of age, the Lord launched out on his preaching ministry. Now, that was the age, of course, that priests and temple servants would serve God. And that's why Christ began his ministry at the age of 30. This long-term commitment that Mary showed is required in any who will faithfully serve the Lord. We don't want deacons for a month. We don't want new members that will stay with us 6 months. We don't want missionaries that are going off and saying, "Oh, it's too hot, it's too cold, I'm coming home." We want men and women who are called to serve God with all the days that it's possible for them to serve, as God opens the door and keeps it open, gives the health and strength to do it. And we need that long-term commitment because the Bible consistently tells us that we are sowers of seed. And in that kind of work, you need patience. You can't demand, "Well, I'm going to build a church in 1 year or I'm giving up." We're just sowing seed. And we don't know what God's going to do with it. The harvest is the Lord's. And he will bring in the harvest in his time. We also need to remember that God's ways are higher than our ways. And what we think, plan and scheme and hope will turn out may be the very opposite. God works in strange ways with his servants. He opens doors, he closes doors. But if you're faithful, God will continue to use you. We also need to remember that one soul is worth more than the whole world. That should keep us in service, even though there's little fruit. And then also we know that God would find his servants faithful when he returns. That doesn't mean that we're successful when he returns in earthly terms, but faithful. And for all these reasons, we need earthly, long-term commitment in the service of the Lord Jesus. And I set before you Mary as a great model. Now, what about you? If you say, "I'm interested in being a Christian for a while to see how it goes," no. "I'm interested in becoming involved in the church just for a few months to see how it goes," no. "I'm willing to lay my life on the line and be available to God's service, whatever opens up to me." That's the way we serve God. So all of these things, honesty, surrender, truth, and long-term service is required. The last thing in Mary that I greatly commend her for, and we all must follow in, is her interest in the Savior's cross. Because in John 19, verse 25, when our Lord Jesus was hanging on that cross, we know that the women were there and Mary was there. In that text, we're told there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and she's the first one mentioned in that reference. The first one noted at the cross is the very mother of the Lord Jesus. The one who kept these things and pondered them in her heart all of these years, for all of these events. Now, the fulfillment of the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus was before her eyes. Now, it was Simeon who predicted to Mary. You remember Simeon who took the child in his arms? And he said, this child is to do great things. And he said to Mary, and in our authorized version, it's in brackets, Luke 2:35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. Surely that word metaphorically was fulfilled when Mary stood at the cross and watched her own son, the son of her own womb, whom she had nursed, cherished, cared for, provided for, watched him grow to manhood, to see him hanging on a cross, to see the blood pouring from his head, his hands, his feet. Can you understand the pain of Mary's heart in that hour when Jesus was being crucified? And there she showed her total commitment, that she not only obeyed the angel to bear the Son, she not only raised him pondering things in her heart, but she believed in his death, his crucifixion, as the way of redemption for her. And I cannot begin to describe the mixed emotions that must have flowed through her heart as she stood there looking at her baby boy, her son, but her Savior, dying for a lost world. And I say tonight, the greatest honor that you can give to Christ is believe in his death at the cross. If you say tonight, I love that little manger scene, but I have no interest in Calvary. I love to look at an infant's face, but don't show me that head with a crown of thorns. I love to see those little hands in the crib, but don't ask me to look at those stretched out arms with the nails in the hands of the Son of God. Mary looked, and Mary believed. She was a believer. And her pondering, oh, she meditated, believingly, delighting, resting in that death. So tonight I want to give the hero award of the incarnation to Mary. I believe she deserves the highest honor of any individual as one who believed, sacrificed, endured, and committed herself to the Savior right to the end. Mary's in heaven tonight. And you know what? Jesus is coming back for her body, wherever it is, wherever it's led. We know that from the cross, Jesus said to John, behold thy mother. He was committing the care of his mother to John. So wherever John lived, Mary would have lived. And she would have died a natural death. And her body would be in a grave or a tomb. Her soul's in heaven, and Jesus is coming back for her body. What a salvation. What a Savior. I said that I don't think I could preach the mixed emotions that went through Mary. I have found a poem that I think will help us in this. It's written by a G. MacDonald. Mary, to thee the heart was given, for infant hands to hold, thus clasping an eternal heaven, the great earth in its fold. He came all helpless to thy power, for warmth and love and birth. In thy embraces every hour he grew into the earth. And thine the grief, O Mother High, which all thy sisters share, who keep the gate betwixt the sky and this our lower air. and unshared sorrows gathering slow, new thoughts within thy heart, which through thee like a sword will go, and make thee mourn apart. For if a woman bore a son that was of angel brood, who lifted wings ere day was done, and soared from where he stood, strange grief would fill each mother moan, while longing dim and sore, "My child, my child, aye, he is my own, and yet is mine no more." So thou, O Mary, year on years, from child birth to the cross, was filled with yearnings, filled with fears, keen sense of love and loss. The things that Mary pondered in her heart. What do you think of Christ tonight? Is he your Savior? Will you bow the knee to him? Will you say to the angel, "Be it unto me according to thy word"? Will you serve him? Will you stand at his cross and say, "This was for me. Jesus died for me. What a Savior. Let's live for him. Let's serve him all our days." Listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're turning to our message by Mr. Spurgeon on the name of Jesus means his work, his actual work. O ye sinners, I mean you real sinners, not you who call yourselves by that name simply because you are told that it is what you are, but you who really feel yourselves to be guilty before God. Here is good news for you. O you self-condemned sinners who feel that if you are ever to get salvation, Jesus must bring it to you and be the beginning and the end of it. I pray you to rejoice in this dear, this precious, this blessed name, for Jesus has come to save you, even you. Go to him as sinners, call him Jesus, and say to him, "O Lord Jesus, be Jesus to me, save me, for I need thy salvation." Doubt not that he will fulfill his own name and exhibit his saving power in you. Only confess to him your sin, and he will save you from it. Only believe in him, and he will be your salvation. What does Paul mean when he says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners? He means first that Jesus came to save them from the punishment of their sin. Their sin shall not be led to their charge, so that they shall be condemned for it, if they do but trust in him who was punished in the place of those who were really guilty,
That is one thing that Christ Jesus came into the world to do for sinners. He came also to save them from the pollution of their sin, so that though their mind has been debased and their taste degraded and their conscience deadened by sin, he came to take that evil away and to give them a tender heart and to a hatred of sin and a love for holiness and a desire for purity. That is a great work for him to accomplish. Yes, Jesus came to do even more than that. He came also to take away our tendencies to sin, those tendencies which are born in us and which grow up with us. He came by his Spirit to eradicate them, to pluck them up by the roots and to put within us another principle which shall fight with the old principle of sin and overcome it. Till Christ alone shall reign and every thought shall be brought into captivity to him. Further, Jesus came to save his people from apostasy. He came into the world to save sinners in the fullest possible sense by keeping them faithful to the end so that they shall not go back unto perdition. This is a very important part of the work of divine grace. To start a man right is but little, but to keep that man holding on even to the end is a triumph of almighty grace, and this is what Christ has come to do. Christ Jesus came into the world not to half save you, not to save you in this direction or that, and in this light or that, but to save you from your sin, to save you from an angry temper, to save you from pride, to save you from strong drink, to save you from covetousness, to save you from every evil thing, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's the gospel, and that's the Savior that we so greatly need. And I pray that you will trust him too. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for staying with us right to the close of the program. And if you want further information about our church, our radio ministry, literature available, or if you want to give me a call and talk with me one-to-one, and take down the number. All the announcements are coming up just now. Well, I hope you have been blessed today through our program. This is a great time of year to rehearse the good news of the gospel. Many curse Christmas as a fable. Many commercialize Christmas as nothing more than a money-making racket, while some run from it as if it is totally pagan in origin and its traditions are to be squashed. But when you are a gospel preacher with a burning desire to take every opportunity to preach the good news that God sent his Son to be our Savior into this world, then we grasp this Christmas season and build upon it. We pray that God by his Spirit will cut through all the externals and lead sinners to the eternal life and the infinite love that is in the heart of God for sinners. Go to www.ltbs.ca and look for past programs. You will also find our Christmas message and music for seniors. It is dated December 1st. Or if you would like a CD by mail, then email me at ltbsradio@gmail.com or call me at 604-897-2040. You can also sign up for our newsletter on the website ltbs.ca. May the Lord bless you richly through the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Let us tell the world this Christmas season. Join us each day, Monday to Friday, as we let the Bible speak.